Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back this morning. It is Saturday, January 6, 2018, and we pray all is well with you and your family. Amen. Today we will be having a discussion with Mr. Rahsaan Mills, and he's going to talk about a couple things here. I'll let him introduce himself to you, but we're going to have a discussion talking about young men, husbands, fathers, sons, incarceration, the juvenile justice system, the penal system, and some other things. But we just pray that you join us, and hopefully something be said that will encourage you, inspire you, and stir up something in you. Amen. We are going to start with scripture and prayer, and we have a couple announcements, and we're going to get into the discussion today. Amen. I'm be reading from Galatians chapter number 2, at verse number 16. It's Galatians 2. The Word of God says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Father, today we say thank you, God, with grateful hearts, O God, that you have sent your Son, O God, sinless Savior, O God, a sinless man to stand in the gap for us, O God, to die and pay the price for our sins, O God, that we may be reconciled back to you, God. So, Father, we just say thank you. Our hearts, O God, are filled with gratitude and thanks, God, that we would not have to stand before you, O God, and pay the price for our sins, but yet Christ has paid it for us. So, God, because of the sacrifice of your Son, God, we say thank you. Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us, God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, oh God, that will guide us through purpose, through struggles, through every aspect of life, oh God, that we will live a life pleasing to you. Continue to strengthen every man on this line, oh God, that are listening, oh God, that this dead will hear it now live and they will hear it in the future, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you will watch over husbands today, even as they struggle with their relationships and their wives, God. That thing, God, that you might have been arguing about yesterday or last week, God, I pray forgiveness, oh God. I pray that their hearts will be open, oh God, that they will love their wives as Christ loved the church, oh God. I pray today for fathers, oh God, who are struggling with children, oh God, from the prodigal, God, to those, oh God, who are even doing well, oh God, but yet, God, we will not take pride in achievements of our children, but continue to guide and mentor, God. I pray for the fathers of adult children, oh God, as they stand in the gap for their children, even they make choices and shape among their families. So, Father, we know, God, you're a God of generations, God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, oh God. So in those three generations of lives of men that are listening today, I pray your favor and your grace. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to watch over us and give us peace today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We have a couple announcements. Also, with the Helping Hands, Winning Souls Adventist Church Helping Hands Food Pantry, every second and fourth Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're located in Pasadena, Maryland at 2322 Mountain Road. The church phone number is 410-437-0137. If you live in the Baltimore City, D.C. area, and you don't live in Pasadena, you can call the church. There's a network of pantries, and they can help you and refer you to a pantry in your local zip code or in your community. So the church phone number is 410-437-0137, and that's the Winning Souls Evangelist Church Helping Hands Food Pantry. Amen. Amen. Some other events coming up in 2018. First is the Marriage Life Conference, hosted by Pastor Donnie and Latoya Neal. And that's going to be on March the 2nd to the 4th, 2018. They're going to the MC Suites in Williamsburg, Virginia. Registration is $50, and the room rate is $99 a night. You can reach out to the church there at 443-282-8653. And they got a lot planned. Registration is open until January the 15th. Again, the registration is $50. It's open until January the 15th. They're going to have, that includes breakfast, the receptions every night. There's an indoor pool. is going to be dining out, going to Captain George. They have horseback riding set up. So it's going to be a fun weekend of fellowship and getting ready to connect with your spouse. So we encourage you to reach out there. If you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, you'll see the link and the flyer. If you have a pen and paper with you this morning, you'll be able to see that on our Facebook page. Also, you can reach us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. We post upcoming events of men's events, marriage events, and things that will edify and glorify God in what they're doing and what God is doing in the community. Our next one is the Jesus Lives Fellowship of Ministries, 4th Annual Couples Event. It's going to be held on April the 27th through the 29th of 2018. And they will be going down to Chantilly, Virginia. The cost for the weekend is $325, including rooms and all the materials. There's a $100 deposit due by January 22nd. And you can reach out to the church at 443-784-8826. Again, if you go to our Facebook page, you can see the link for that. Also, even if you go on Facebook, you inbox me, I can send you that information, and you can reach out to the churches there for the marriage retreats. Because marriage is the foundation of our communities, of our churches, and that's why it's important for husbands and fathers to be in place, to be connected, and to be able to lead and guide their family spiritually and physically and emotionally. Amen? Amen. Well, today we have a guest, Mr. Rasan Mills, and we're going to bring him up on the line this morning, and we're going to discuss a lot of different things this morning, and I pray that you are prepared and set and take yourself down, get a cup of coffee, get comfortable, and share in. You can always call in. For those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com, Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in at 646-668-2636 if you have questions, insights, you want to share some wisdom, you want to talk, join the conversation, and share your insights and wisdom on that topic today. We encourage you to come in, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen. Brother Mills, good morning. Can you hear me, sir? How are you?
I can. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Excellent, sir. Excellent. First, let me thank you for joining us this morning and taking some time out of your schedule and share and be part of our program. We do appreciate it greatly.
No, thank you for having me on. I'm
Amen.
Certainly appreciative of the opportunity Saturday morning. So, again, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's begin. You tell the audience a little bit about yourself, who you are, and who you are, what you do, man, ministry, and family.
Okay, well, let me start first and foremost. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm at the forefront of my life, Deacon Farr. God is literally everything. My daily routine, it starts off by just recognizing God for what he has done and what he'll continue to do. So God is literally at the forefront of my life by the time I open up my eyes until I close my eyes, because I know without him, nothing is possible. Professionally, I'm a licensed mental health therapist at the Baltimore City Juvenile Justice Center. So on a daily basis, I have an opportunity to work with young men, typically between the ages of 16 to 18. Now, these young men, they are considered juveniles by age, but their classifications are adults by the alleged crimes that they have committed. So I provide mental health services to them once a week, individual sessions, getting to know them and kind of working around some of the issues that they may have. And then, to be honest with you, I also view my job, I kind of tell all the young men, I view my job, I am a therapist by my title, by my training, but I like to believe I'm just a gardener. I always kind of joke, the running joke is I'm a well-dressed gardener. I'm a gardener because I think my goal is, as a older black man born and raised in Baltimore, to work with these younger black men here in Baltimore, Maryland. I think my job is literally, Deacon Farr, to plant seeds in them. And some of these seeds will grow. I'll be able to see some of them grow. You know, they'll be watered and grow right before my eyes. That's typically not the case, because normally I'm working with them for 6 to 8 months. And change, we know that change is such a process. The human brain doesn't develop fully until, you know, someone is 25. So I don't always have the opportunity to see those seeds grow. But I think I'm passionate and I'm excited about every day. I know I have the opportunity to plant the seed, and just hopefully they go into an environment, a nurturing environment, where those seeds can be watered. And then they can grow and ultimately come, you know, productive members of, you know, of society. So that's why I am professionally. I'm a motivational speaker. So I'm in a lot of schools and a lot of colleges, businesses, soon to be author. I have a happy hour book. Each week via social media, I complete a motivational piece on every Friday called Happy Hour. And the beauty of that is, Deacon Fall, and I hope somebody's listening right now, and I hope this is something that could benefit and enhance their life. And this is really the power and the beauty of God. It started because I was an alcoholic. July 18, 2015 is the last time I actually had a drink. And, you know, I was at everybody's happy hour. Literally, I was known for being at everybody's happy hour at 5 or 6 o'clock on a Friday, sometime sooner. And when I got out of that place, when that spirit of addiction, when God took that away from me, I literally just got up one day and grabbed my phone, and I said, I want to get back to talking. I'm a former sports broadcaster. I lost the job in Oregon because I had a DUI. So alcohol literally controlled my life because I had issues as far as self-esteem, as far as depression. And my biological father, you know, has been incarcerated 30 out of my 40 years of living. So I had so many issues. So that alcohol was something that drove me. But once I picked up my phone, I said, I want to get back to talking. I love talking. I love engaging and interacting with people. And I picked up my phone and I said, I'm going to just title this Happy Hour. I had no idea that it would blossom and it would literally put me back in front of people with the idea that I can get in front of people using what God has put in me to really help. Right now, it just seems like young men, but not the old Rashad where I wanted all the attention and I wanted all the glory. So God has it's not even strange. We always say God, you know, works in strange ways. It's really not that strange. He's the greatest chess player ever. Everything is well thought out. It's a great methodical plan. So now that he's given me this opportunity to have a voice again, to have a platform, I promise myself I will be using it for his good. So part of that is happy hour, just encouraging people, you know, whatever they're going through. And as a family man, I am a father of 28-year-old girls who I love and adore. And that's just, again, that's just the beauty of God. When they were born, you know, they were preemies. And, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't know if they make it. But now they're 8 years old, healthy, and they're literally running me around every day. So I'm just blessed. I'm in a really good spot. And again, my ultimate goal throughout the course of my life is to help somebody else. And literally, the resources that I ask for God to bestow on me, they're not even for me. I mean, I want to be blessed so I can in turn be a blessing to somebody else. So that's kind of who I am.
Amen, sir. Amen. I thank you, bro. I thank you for your passion. I hear it in your voice. And a lot of us, we come from places that motivate us because we knew where we were and we're not for the grace of God in our lives. We don't know where we had ended up, but yet we know we have that passion to be able to serve. And I hear it in your voice and you're working professionally in that place, I do believe, where we have we have a lot of lost brothers, young men, who just they're just lost. I just say it like that. It's not sometimes it's for their own choices, but then sometimes the pressures of life get to folk and we make bad choices. But yet, God is a redeemer and God is a reconciler. So we have to be able to. And I like what you said about planting seeds. Sometimes you're right. Any true farmer, any true gardener knows you may not see all the fruit and you may not even see all the produce of the things that we plant. But knowing mm-hmm. that we labored what we were called to do, and we are done. So we'll stand before God and we'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, today, bro, we're going to start off, we're going to touch on a lot of things, but first let's talk about in the lives of men. I wanted to come to you and bring you on and discuss some of the things, some points and get your insights on it, being that you're a trained professional administrator person, and then talk about men being, first of all, let's talk about men being vulnerable enough to call on God and also enough to reach out to other men to seek help in their times of struggle. And what do you think about that? Is that an important thing? Is it a hard thing? Or is that a thing that we all struggle with and we have to find ways to overcome? What do you say, sir?
Well, I think you hit on a few points already. Number one, it's extremely important. It's a critical part of a man's development to understand that he is vulnerable, because oftentimes as men, especially based on our backgrounds a lot of times, and when I say background, meaning upbringing, that we were always taught that you can't be but so vulnerable. You're a man and you have to do, you know, you have to complete all these tasks. You have to be a provider for yourself, obviously, and then for your family. and you can't have these moments of vulnerability. Nobody can see you break down. And from a mental health perspective, I know that that causes a lot of internal issues with our men, that men feel like, I can't be vulnerable. And if I am vulnerable, who can I turn to? In a relationship, I find it difficult to turn to my woman because she may judge me that, you're vulnerable or you're weak. You know, I should be able to count on you. We certainly understand or believe that we can't turn to family members because they may view us the same way. You're a man, right? And then oftentimes, and I know this from a personal perspective, that as men, we turn to other vices to fill that void of vulnerability. And whether it's addiction, whether it's sex, for some guys, it's literally sports. It fills that void. So there's so many factors that go on to that, but I think that once you understand it's okay to be vulnerable, and you can turn toward God and understand that God wants you to be vulnerable. He really wants you to be vulnerable because in your vulnerability, that's how you develop that relationship, your own relationship with God. And once you develop that relationship with God, then you know that you have somebody to turn to, whether you're vulnerable, whether you're lonely, whether you're broke, you can literally turn to God to help you. But I think for a lot of guys, it's so difficult to turn to God because, guys, we are wired that internally we have this wiring that lets us believe that we can do everything on our own. And from a personal perspective, Deacon Farr, when I was so vulnerable and so low that God had literally, stripped everything away from me, and it was like, Rashad, you have to come to me. This is your time to come to me because nothing else that you are trying to do is going to work because I need you to be with me. And I think every guy, and this may sound really harsh, but I think this is a harsh reality, if you will, I think every guy needs to have that moment where whatever you're trying to do, if it's not in line with the will of God, that he's just blocking it. He's blocking it until you can turn to him to develop that relationship. And that necessarily doesn't mean a relationship where you're in a church. You can have that individual relationship because, again, I know a lot of guys that they are extremely hesitant to go to a church and allow themselves to be exposed in front of other people. And, other people can see them at their moments of weakness and vulnerability. So even if it's you're in your house and you develop this relationship with God, I think that you have to have that relationship with God because, again, man, we just have this internal, I think it's almost an innate internal wiring that says, I can do it all by myself because I'm a man. And that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Amen, sir. You're right. There's a lot to what we struggle with as men and how we in this culture have defined manhood to be. Everybody's supposed to be the alpha. We say a lot of things in trying to encourage young men about being the king and being the leader, but we're all different, and everyone can't lead. We had this discussion in some men's groups. That everyone can't lead. Someone is the leader, and then they are faithful followers. And some of us have to know, we understand that is. But if all we tell our brothers is to be the lead, then we're not telling them to be faithful to a cause, faithful to their life, faithful to follow, and mm-hmm. faithful to submission to authority. And I think that is one of the biggest things, especially when we talk about bad choices, the criminal justice system, the whatever it is, from all the way from schools to our neighborhoods and our communities. If we don't have that innate thing that manhood sometimes means to submit to authority and be a faithful person to the call of our lives, we miss out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that vulnerability, everybody's trying to be the alpha. Let me say it like that. Everybody's trying to be the alpha, and that brings conflict also because we don't teach, how to – we teach it in sports because I know you touched on that too, but we don't teach it in life. Because everybody can't be the captain of the team. But in sports, we teach it. But do we teach it in life that, and are we raising men to be faithful in the place where they are? Because we all have gifts and talents that we can be used. But the thing about us, especially as men of God and for pastors and elders and leaders in the church, is how do we cultivate the individual man. Because, again, we don't all come from different backgrounds and we got different upbringings and we see life differently. But now, when it comes to the body of Christ, are we cultivating the man that he is? And that vulnerability is something, because you never know. There's a reason why we all have walls, or we put up the mask, the shield, the facade, because of that vulnerability. Because even some of us have been hurt. Some of us don't want to be hurt. We've been there, done that. We tried it. It didn't work out. And then some of us, we carry that around because, you know, because there's a time in our innocence, between innocence and being naive, with trusted folk. But yet, we trusted the wrong folk, or even folk, you know, we trusted folk who themselves didn't have it all together. But now we get to a certain age or a certain place where now it's hard for us to trust again, and then that hinders us from achieving other things in our life, because we go into that long ranger mode. We go into that I don't need nobody mode, and it hinders us and it hurts us. It keeps us from really doing, and especially when it bleeds over into our families, into our marriages, into our relationships with our children. And those are the things that we have to be able to challenge and speak to men about. And some of the things that we have to do. Go ahead, sir.
You know what? I just want to jump in because you made an interesting point that these things often spill over into our relationships, whether it's relationship, you know, with your wife, girlfriend, and your things of that nature. So I think for somebody listening right now, I want to encourage them. And again, when I speak this from a personal level, is that I started to see my growth literally decline in the last 3 years. Is when I began to understand that I was vulnerable and I had a lot of walls built up. And when I was able to sort of drop that wall about certain things in my life, I started to see relationships around me grow, even with my coworkers, because for years I was not vulnerable enough to admit I was wrong in anything, because I felt like if I admitted I was wrong about something, that just did something to me internally as a man. Like, I can't be wrong. I'm always right. And when that wall dropped, you know, I would see my relationships just flourish, because it was like, wow, this is a new Rashad. He's admitting that he's wrong. He's willing to apologize. For men, you know, I watch even some of my closest friends. They just refuse to be wrong. They won't apologize to their wives or their kids. And it's something that, you know, you'll carry around for the rest of your life, and it's not a good thing at all. And that's part of being vulnerable as well, to know that when you are vulnerable and you admit that, in relationships in your life, I mean, a lot of times they'll take off. They really will.
And I agree, and that's part of it, because that's part of the transparency. You know, that's I think is that bigger. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Are we transparent in those things? Well, first of all, are we secure in ourselves? And then the transparency to realize that we don't keep it all together, that when we fall short. And in some relationships, some relationships are not even built on transparency, because anytime our marriages are not built on transparency, or even if you are in a relationship with a woman you're dating, at some point, you know, you got to put down your Mac move, and then you have to build a relationship that's based on something if it's going to be a long-term relationship. And that's where I think we as men sometimes struggle with the real transparency. Because your wife, do we see our wife as a partner, or do we see her as an adversary? Does she see as someone that we can lean on and we can be transparent with? But it's a process. Because, you know, you talk about girlfriends and fiancés and dating, that's a whole different, that's, we could do a whole show on that right there. Because the woman you're dating may not be the woman you marry, and you got to make sure that, you know, I'm just saying. But these are some of the struggles and some of the things, because this is what we do. I mean, this is who we are as men, and we struggle with. So that vulnerability and transparency, and, you know, for the brothers out there that are listening, you know, it's not easy. And sometimes you have to look at yourself and look at who you are, what direction you want to go in, and are you going to make some changes? And just like with men of faith, and to the men who may not be men of faith and believe in Christianity, it really doesn't matter what we're talking about, because these are life principle things. Because you can't get anywhere unless you know, and unless you're secure in yourself, because you're going to run into obstacles. You know, we'll worry about Jesus getting to you, but even in your life, Jesus is looking for you anyway. I just want to say that. But even in what you're doing, are you in a place where, what kind of man are you? What is your character? What do people, how do people see you? And in your relationships, go back to children and wives, because all this starts in the homes. So are we vulnerable to our wife and our child and our children and those close relationships? Even, you know, from I talked to my young brothers out there, you know, high school, college age. Are you transparent with your father or your parents? Or are you hiding stuff from them? Because, I mean, I could give you the stories and the testimonies. Folks go away to college and they do all kinds of wild and crazy. Some get away with it, some don't. You know what I mean? And and the same thing. It even, you know, when we had that opportunity, when we have to be, what kind of character are we building? What kind of character do we have? Because I do know about redemption. I do know we have to realize that our character, this is not who I want to be, and what do I need to do to change it? And that's where that real vulnerability is. And who am I going to, you said it too, about who am I hanging around? Who's in my life? You know, I call it here, Issue Christian Men's Talk. I talk about, you know, our circle of influence. Who is really in our circle? Mm-hmm. And are they influencing us for the better or for the worse? Because we could have people in our circle that's holding us down. And for whatever reason, we feel comfortable. We feel like, you know, this is who I am. I can't be nothing else. There's all kinds of things that weigh down on us as men. And sometimes we stay in that place for too long, and we can turn around and we're 35 years old and whatever. I'm just saying, every man will have to judge himself and see what he wants to do. I'll just put it like that. And that's what we want to encourage here, Issue Christian Men's Talk, for every man to see himself, man, to look into the Word of God, to look into prayer, look into, you know, your pastor, the people around you, that you, you know, you have a sincere heart to want to be different and seek to have some vulnerability and accountability in your life. Amen? Even on that, let's move forward, because I'm going to talk to my young men now, my brothers out there, my single brothers. Let's talk about finding a godly woman and finding a woman that all these things that we talked about previously is in that woman. And I know we're in a culture now where, for some odd reason, we got high schoolers and middle schoolers and folk, and they, you know, we got children playing grown-up games when it comes to relationships. And I don't understand it, but in some circles, this is what we're looking at. What do you say, sir? We talk about finding a godly woman, and what does that look like? What does that mean?
Well, obviously, finding a godly woman, to me, that she has to be deeply rooted. She has to be deeply rooted in God and God's word, because as I'm growing now, literally my fiance is a minister, so as I'm growing now, I know that they're going to be, there were times throughout our relationship, and we've been dating probably 2.5 years now, there have been times throughout our relationship that because she was deeply rooted in the word of God and understood what the word of God is, like she literally kept me, how can I word it? Like she kept me from reverting back to the old Rashad, and the old Rashad in the sense of my thought process and how I react to her in different situations. And in addition to that, I think it's so critical that there are going to be times throughout your relationship that if you don't have a godly woman, and I know it may sound cliche in this culture right now, but sometimes you literally just need somebody to pray for you, because there's going to be some issues throughout the course of relationship, or even throughout the course of your life, if you're in a relationship and it's your own issue, that your woman, if she's not a godly woman, there's nothing that she can do for you. But that godly woman, if she can only do one thing for you, she can simply pray for you. And, you know, some things are some things in this society that we think somebody can help you with, they really can't. But I know one thing that has lasted throughout the test of time and it still is unbeatable is the power of prayer. So literally for me, having a godly woman, it's having somebody that can pray for me. If she can't, if I need money for a bill and she can't help me, if she can't meet any of my other needs, I know that she can pray for me. And that's simple, something as simple as going to your knees or sitting at in your car at a light and going to God on my behalf, man, let me tell you, that's everything, literally everything. Because, and then the inverse of that, watch this, the inverse of that is if I can't help my woman at the time, I know one thing that I can do. I can go to my knees I can pray. So to me, having that godly woman is having somebody that can literally pray for you. And then I'll say this one other thing, and then I'll toss it back to you, Deacon Farr. Other than the perspective of a godly woman praying for you, I think a godly woman will challenge you. And I'm just keep it all the way, you know, all the way 100. When I met my fiance, one of the things that we came into the relationship with is we didn't want to be intimate in the physical sense until we got married. We wanted to keep, you know, everything as it should be in terms of the eyesight of God. There are times that literally where my fiance will say, you know what, we can't do X, Y, or Z because we know that we're going to have to give an account for that. And for me, you know, I was never really used to that. I mean, you know, raised in the church, got back to the church. But just that, just keeping me on track and just that being challenged in a good way and making me level up, only a godly woman can do that.
Amen, sir. Amen. I see your fiance. She's a woman of good report. She can keep you in check. That's good. That's good. You're absolutely correct. That's going to come back.
Yes.
That's going to pay dividends for you, brother, when you get married. I'm telling you. Amen. Amen. Well, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Brother Rashad Mills. And we're talking about a couple things here about men being vulnerable. Godly women, and just giving words of encouragement to the brothers out there with whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with. You know, that's what we do here at Issues. We talk about some issues. We encourage you. I noticed that brother just talked about, you know, staying pure, sexually pure, doing the courtship at times. And I mean, that's a challenge for a lot of folk, a lot of brothers. You know, when we talk about keeping that sexual appetite under control and even coming, if you were, I'm going to say this nice. If you was a womanizer and then you're trying to do different, you're going to need the power of God to do it because you crossed the barrier that coming back from and trying to, you know, close that thing up because a lot of it is lust. A lot of it can be insecurities, and we act out in our insecurities in sexual ways because it's easy and it's the quick gratification. And then some of us just like, you know, we like chasing women, but we don't like keeping women. And that's a whole nother discussion. But anyway, amen. Amen. Well, if you're on the line, if you're at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr, and something was said today stirred up, you want to share some insights or ask a question, you can call us at 646-668-2636. So we encourage you to call me. You're on the line. Got a couple brothers out there. If you want to share, just push one on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation, and you can share your insight and input and ask questions. Real quick, brother, I wanted to shift a little bit because I know you're part of the criminal justice system, and something I did want to ask you about and get your insights on. We talk a lot about repeat offenders and folk going back and recidivism and what do we call it? The turnstile on the door of the prison, in and out. What kind of things are you seeing that you're part of the system that young men and that are coming out, if even they serve their time, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, what kind of services are you seeing out there that's really helping them? Now, I understand every man makes a choice, but if I really went in, I survived, I come out, and I want to be different and do different. What are the resources you see here locally and here in Maryland that are really helping those brothers out, or is it more needed to be done? What do you say, sir?
Well, it's a two-part question. I'm going to start with the second part of that and answer that with first. There's definitely more that's needed to be done. There's not enough services out for the young brothers returning back into our communities because oftentimes what I'm watching from a juvenile level is that I see a lot of young men that this initial experience, whether, you know, a lot of times I put it this way, the juveniles have been detained for their first time. It has been enough of experience to make them change their lives. But when they come back to the community that, I won't say help them produce their crime, but it was a lot of the factors in that community that led to them committing that crime, they don't have the resources in place to change. Oftentimes they want to change, and we tell young men, go home and stay out of trouble. But here's what I'm finding. What does that look like? Stay out of trouble to a 16 to 17-year-old, 18-year-old in Baltimore it surely sounds easy for us to say it, but some of the stories that I've heard and some of the young men, and I know their stories and their background, without the proper resources in place, that's a very difficult task. So we tell them to stay out of trouble, but we don't have the resources in place to assist them with that task. So there's more that needs to be done. You can never have enough resources for these young men, because oftentimes a lot of them want to do right, but they don't know what that looks like. And, you know, even if they knew what it looks like, but not having the proper resources to assist them, it'll never get done. So to the first part of that question, I do know a few from the juvenile level. One of them is called Yo Baltimore, which is a fabulous program that it helps employs young men. It gives them guidance. They have mentorship. They have different programs within Yo Baltimore. Another one is called Living Classrooms. And Living Classrooms, that helps them with school. In addition to that, it'll help them with securing jobs as well. So those are two of them that I know that a lot of young men have been able to take advantage of. But I just think, again, it's not enough in place. It's really not enough in place, because the rate of recidivism from the young men that I work with, it is extremely high. Unfortunately, if a young man, and I'm just kind of throwing some dates out, if he walks out of the facility that I'm at on January the 1st of any given year, unfortunately, I can almost assure that 8 out of the 10 I'm going to see back, I would say, in 90 days. Maybe it's a violation. Maybe they picked up a new charge. But I'm sure in 90 days I'm going to see 8 out of the 10 back. And a lot of times it's just violations. They don't understand, you know, the stipulations of them being released, or they picked up another charge. But it's like I can almost guarantee they're going to be back. And that's really frightening to me, because I tell the young men that I work with, I always tell them, or not tell them, but I try to educate them about graduating. And when I say graduating, you graduate from the juvenile system. Eventually you go to jail. And if you keep graduating, now you're in prison. And then you look up and you're 25 years old and you've literally been off and on throughout these environments, detention centers and jails and prisons, for the last 7 years of your life. And then now you're grown. You don't have a certain skill set because you weren't home long enough to acquire one. You were never around programs and resources that can help you. And now you're 25 and you need money. You need money because you have kids, you have to take care of them, or you need a place to stay, or you just need basic functions in life. And what happens? You go back to what you know. Oftentimes, a lot of these young men, when they're faced with difficult moments, Deacon Farr, they revert back to what they know best. And what they know best, unfortunately, is illegal activities, the street environment. So I can never, if somebody's listening right now, if you have any resources that can assist a young man or a young woman, by all means, you know, let's connect. Because I'm literally in, you know, for lack of a better term, the belly of the beast every day. I hear the stories. I know what they're going through. And I'm just the advocate of let's get them resources. And one of the things that I always tell a young man, I can get you the resources. I'll try my best to get you all the resources that you need. Now, if I lead you to the water and you don't drink, we can't put that on anybody else in society. But I think part of it is as adults, especially adult males in this city, I think we have to do a better job of, you know, trying to give them more. Because, again, a lot of them want to do better. They just don't know what it looks like. I mean, literally, some of them don't know how to fill out job applications. You know, if a job doesn't call them back after they fill it out, that's it for them. They don't know the process. Like, you have to call. You got to show the effort. How do you dress appropriately for a job application? I mean, a job interview. There's so many different things that go into it, but I think we have to be the ones to get them the resources. And then, you know, again, if we lead them to the water and they don't drink it, we have set them up. We have given them an opportunity.
Amen, sir. Amen. Well, bro, I want to take some time at the audience, give me your contact information, how they can reach out to you, your website. And also, yeah. You can do that, and I want to come back and talk to you about something else real quick. Amen.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you. So, again, Rashad Mills, you probably will see me on all forms of social media, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Rashad, R-A-S-H-A-D, Bowtie, spelled one word, altogether, B-O-W-T-I-E, and then my last name is Mills, M-I-L-L-S. the bow tie is really a part of my brand. When I'm speaking motivationally or just through my day-to-day travels, 99.9% of the time, I'm going to be in a bow tie. So, and I also sell bow ties as well, but Rashad Bow Tie Mills, Facebook, Instagram, and also YouTube. And I'm going to go ahead and give anybody that's listening right now, if you have some resources or you just need some assistance, maybe you have a young man as a licensed mental health therapist that you need a therapist to work with somebody, or, you know, I can just pick up the phone and be a blessing to you and share some positive information. I'm going to give you my personal email address. That way we can stay connected. Again, my goal is to help everybody, as many people as I can. So my email address is my first name, Rashad, R-A-S-H-A-D, and it's Speaks, S-E-A-K-S, at RashadMills.com. So Rashad Speaks at RashadMills.com. And then my website is RashadMills.com as well. And then the last thing, Deacon Fawn, and I'll give you the alley-oop, I'll toss it back to you. Every Tuesday night, I have the Rashad Mills Show on Awesome God Radio. So that show streams live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. from my Facebook page. There's an Awesome God Radio app you can download for iTunes or Android or AwesomeGodRadio.com. So check out some of those shows as well. I just always have powerful individuals on, and normally their testimony serves as a blessing to somebody else. So every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can check that out as well.
Amen, sir. Amen. Well, first of all, I'll just share with the audience, because I went to the website and this brother got these ties. They are all right. He's got a good selection here. You got over, let's see, how many, 4, 5, 7. You got a selection of 10, and that's the thing I caught that caught my eye with the brother. You got, they only, what did it cost here? Let me read it. Hold on. All right, they're about $20, and I encourage you to go out there and get them, because I'm seeing some, you know, you can match a suit, match a vest, match your shoes. You got an assortment of colors and designs, so I just wanted to encourage you, because bow ties, you know. Yeah, so you got to be a special kind of brother to wear a bow tie. How about that?
And actually, I'll have some more coming in as well. I'm always in the community vending also, actually selling the bow ties. So if anybody's listening, you want a bow tie, and you're listening to the show right now, just give me a buzz and say, hey, I was listening to you with Deacon Farr, and I'll go ahead and give you an even better price because you are up listening to the show. Support Deacon Farr, what he's doing, and myself as well. So I'm always trying to give a win-win if possible.
Amen, brother.
Well,
let me ask you, well, we got so much I want to talk about, but let me pace myself here. Amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about family and fathers and husbands and what the importance. So let's start there, because there's a lot of it. You know, we hear a lot in the body of Christ and in the church. We talk about men being the leaders in their home, you know, the financial, the spiritual leader, and all those things. So for some brothers, that can be a lot of pressure. Because, again, if we're honest and we look around our culture, we look around our communities, a lot of men have stepped out of that position for a lot of different reasons. But the thing I wanted to focus on is how important is that, and what do we need to do that we can encourage brothers? I think a lot of it is when we talk about mentoring and discipling, you know, we have to be able to speak into men's lives, because just to tell a man, you know, it's funny. I put it this way. Let me put it this way, and then I'm going to let you jump in. You know, we can't give someone a job without giving them the job description and the training. And when we talk about leading our homes, being fathers and husbands, you know, what do you say, sir? I know it's what do you say? Because I think that's the big thing. We throw it out there, and then we have expectations. We put expectations on folk, and women have expectations of us, but there's no real job description for it. What do you say, sir?
Wow, I love the way that you just phrased that. I might have to steal that, Deacon Farr. I'm letting you know now, if you hear that in one of my motivational speeches, I'll give you the credit, but I might have to steal that one. I think that was the best way to describe manhood, that oftentimes that you have a job. You are expected to walk into this job and take over, but you were never given a proper description. And again, I like to personalize everything because my father has been incarcerated the majority of my life. I never knew what manhood looked like. So my relationships prior to the one that I'm currently in, there were so many things that I lacked, and I lacked in terms of direction because, again, I was never given that direction. I knew that I was in a relationship with a woman, but as far as what I should do as a man, I never knew what that looked like. I never knew about not only in terms of trying to be a provider, but providing that emotional support, spiritual support. Like, I never knew what that looked like because I never had an example of that. My grandfather was a great, you know, example of that, but I didn't live with him every day. He wasn't coming to my house every day. So when I was around him and my grandmother, I saw what a provider looks like. You know, he was one of the earliest entrepreneurs I ever knew about, you know, having a construction business and a restaurant. But I didn't come home to him every day. So the little things on a daily basis, I never knew what that looked like. So, you know, when my mother was coming home with the bags, I never knew that I should be at that door, you know, to get those bags out of her hand, to put that food up, say, "Ma, you sit down, let me take over." So I think literally in my 40th year of life, I'm just getting it. I'm really just getting that idea about what that should look like. And one of the challenges for me is, you know, as I'm working and growing the various business that I have, is like to understand that a man, because we always, a man should provide, and we always say financially, but now where I'm at, I understand that you can be a great provider, and it doesn't mean that you're always going to be the breadwinner. I mean, statistics indicate that I think that the average woman is making more than the average. No, I think, well, that gap is closing up, I should say that, from a financial perspective. But I think there are so many other things that, as men, that we can do in terms of being provider. Like a lot of women, they love the emotional support. Like emotionally, we are so detached from our relationships. Spiritually, we're so detached from our relationships. And a lot of times, again, it's just not knowing. It's really not knowing. So me on a personal level, yeah, I never knew what that looked like. Never knew what that looked like. And it negatively impacted a lot of relationships with women, especially the mother of my kids. Like, I was so immature and I was so detached. Like, literally, I was out partying and drinking because I didn't realize, wow, I have kids now. You know, I have to be an example for them, and it took me a few years to like to click on. And let me just share this quick story about really not knowing. And this literally just popped up in my head, Deacon Farr. I have twin girls, so one came home from the hospital, was in the NICU unit because they were premature, maybe a month after she was born. The other one came home maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months. And when both of them were actually in the home, it was, I would probably say, midsummer, and somebody had given me tickets to the Baltimore Orioles game. Literally had on, you know, Orioles shirt, Orioles hat, and I'm about to walk out of the door. And the mother of my kids looked at me and said, "Do you just realize your second daughter just came home from the hospital and they're premature and you're about to go to a baseball game? And I'm going to be in here by myself with premature babies." And I was like, "Oh, my God. Like, Rashad, like, where's your mother? You don't get it." And just that whole not being able to get it, I truly believe that if I had a male figure in my life, you know, growing up, like moments like that wouldn't have occurred because I was just, again, I was so detached from what a man should be. So.
Amen, bro. Amen. That's a I have kids now moment. That I like that. That's a lot of us are there. It may not be the Orioles game. It's something else that we, unless we take a moment and stop and think the things that we're doing, yes, you have kids now and you can't do, can't go. You have to, mm-hmm. you have to refocus your geofocus, yeah. And your prioritize. You have to, you know, and find balance. Because even for some of us, it may not be a baseball game. It may not be something, you know, it could be just you working too many hours. You're doing 70 hours a week and then wonder why stuff ain't working. Because it's mm-hmm. more than just providing. And we touched upon that. It's more than the physical. We have to see it as a three-part thing. Something we talk about a lot here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is the spiritual, emotional, and physical. support and covering for our families and for our wives and our kids. And it's not, I'm not going to say it's easy, but for those as men of faith, it's not easy. But at least I know that I can pray, I can seek God, and then and wait, and then and I'm good. You know, sometimes a lot of us, we struggle with our choices. Can we make a decision, make a choice, and then stand there and wait for the wind to blow? Because there's going to be foes who's going to push back against the things we do. And we have to be able to stand firm, because it's not about that choice. If we stand firm on this choice, then we're ready for the next time we have to make another choice. Because some brothers will make a choice, stand on it, but then the next time they'll compromise, they'll buckle, and they'll succumb. And that could be the beginning of the destruction. But that's a whole other show. I have so much stuff that I just want to have brothers be who God has called them to be. And these are the issues that we deal with, because this is an ongoing thing. Because like you say, you know, being a father, you're a father. Once you're in the father club, you don't get out the father club. And that's what it is. I mean, it can all go well. Because, you know, I have testimonies, and I know men, you know, it's good when they're in elementary. You know, elementary school, when they're kids, you're Superman. You know, then there's another season when they become adolescents in that teenage years. And there's another season when they become adults. You still like father, but you got to learn. You have to be in a place that you can, that you're dealing with it differently, because you, as they mature and grow, and then they can come to you with different stuff. But are you maturing and growing to be that guy? So the challenges is, you know, it's a lot. But, again, we just want to encourage folk to be able to, you know, be part of and be the man that you're called to be in all circumstances and situations. And it's not easy. Amen? Amen. You're listening to this Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Talker, Thomas Fall. We're here with Brother Rashad Mills, the bow tie guy. That's it, the bow tie guy. I just want to put that in people's spirit right now. If you have any issues and you hear bow tie guy, and you say, oh, that guy, yeah. But anyway, bro, we're getting close to the end here. I want to give you the last, your closing thoughts, your insights, and then you can close us out with prayer. Again, I want to thank you, man, for taking time out your schedule on Saturday morning, because it's, I don't know about the rest of the place, but here in Maryland, it's cold. It's like under 20. It's like 15 degrees outside. So I'm sitting here chilling with some coffee and staying warm, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going outside today, because it's too cold. I have no reason to go out there, so amen. But I just want to get your closing thoughts, brother. Again, give your contact information for the audience, your closing thoughts, and then can you close us out in prayer? And again, absolutely, thank you so much for being on the show, bro. And for 2018, we're going to get our schedule to coordinate, and we're going to do another show. We're going to touch on some other topics, God willing.
Absolutely. So thank you again, Deacon Fox, for this opportunity. Let me just very quickly give out my contact information. Rashad Bowtie Mills on all forms of social media, R-A-S-H-A-D, Bowtie, B-O-W-T-I-E, last name is Mills, M-I-L-L-S, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you go to my Facebook page and Instagram, you will see information for the Rashad Mills Show, which airs every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on Awesome God Radio. Again, I gave out my email address earlier. I'll do you one better. I'll give you my personal cell phone number out again. So if anybody just want to talk, I send out normally text messages throughout the week just to encourage people. Let me give you that information. That's 410-948-0654. If you want to coordinate and connect on anything, you know, working with young people in the community, if you know somebody that's in need of therapy, again, I'm a licensed mental health therapist, or if you just want to talk, if you need some encouragement, I always make time. So 410-948-0654. And I think we're at the point in the show, about 6 minutes left, so I'm going to go ahead and just kind of close us out and pray and just wish everybody warm, like Deacon Farr said, because if you're certainly on the East Coast, it's frigid, and then healthy mentally as well. So, Father God, we just take this opportunity just to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be up yet another day. Father God, thank you for blessing us with so many things that people may take for granted. Thank you for giving us shelter on a cold day like this. Father God, thank you for filling our bellies with food. Father God, we thank you for happy and healthy relationships with the women in our lives. Father God, we thank you for happy and healthy relationships with our children and our family. Father God, as men, we just come to you right now and ask that you will lead us and guide us to be the men that you want us to be, Father God, from all aspects, Father God, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally, Father God. Let us be the leaders of our own household. Let us be the priests, providers, and the protectors, Father God. And when there are moments that we don't know what to do or who to turn to, Father God, let us fall to our knees and call on your holy and mighty name, that you will always be with us, Father God, because it says in your word that you will never forsake us, Father God. So we know that you will always be right there with us, Father God. Father God, ask right now that as a man listening to this prayer right now, that he will step up and be more of a man in his community, Father God. There's so many of our young men, they are needed, in need of guidance. They need to see a positive, strong male figure in their community, Father God, with the hopes that they can emulate him, that they can change their life around, Father God. Please let some man right now step up to that challenge, Father God. And I pray right now for the parents right now that have to unfortunately bury their kids right now, Father God. Be there with them. Stand in the gap in their times of need, Father God, and let them take the worst moments of their life, Father God, and let that be a testimony so they can go out and help the next parent that might have to go through this, Father God. Let there be just an abundance of resources in all the communities across this country, Father God, that our young men and women, they won't have to turn to violence. They won't have to turn to illegal activities because they don't see that there's hope, Father God. Let them know that there's a better way. And I ask you right now, Father God, to bring the young men closer to you. Let them have that game-changing, life-changing experience of knowing what it is to be saved, knowing what it is to have a personal relationship with Christ, knowing what it is that when times get rough, no matter what's going on, Father God, that they can turn to you, they can turn to your word, Father God, and they will always find peace in it, Father God. I'm just asking you all these prayers and many more in your holy and mighty name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.